Chapter 2. The message today is the parable speaker. Luke 2, 49. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Knew you not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them. Now Mark chapter 4, verse 30. And he said, How shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or in what parable shall we set it forth? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown upon the earth, though it be less than all the seeds that are upon the earth, yet when it is sown, groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and putteth forth great branches, so that the birds of the heaven can lodge under the shadow thereof. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. And without a parable spake he not unto them, but privately to his own disciples he expounded all things. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the record, though brief, of the life of your Son that he spent on earth, the days of his flesh. Our God, there is so little here, and yet there is so much that we can learn, and we would like to know all that we can about the life of your Son on earth, the way we would like to know about the life of your Son who is now in heaven. And this day we would like to think about him as the parable speaker. So help this to be precious to our hearts. Let us know what's necessary. Give us hearts that are open and interested and understanding, and empower the lips of him who speaks. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want to know as much as possible about the Lord Jesus and his life as man on earth. God has given us four gospels to tell us about it historically. But if you read in the Gospel of Mark, can anybody tell me about his virgin birth found in the Gospel of Mark? Can you tell me about his virgin birth found in the Gospel of John? You say no. But if you read in Matthew and in Luke, you'll find that he wants to be born of a virgin. Thank God for that. Because when the Lord Jesus is going to come from heaven to earth, how is God going to make himself known through a man? And he's told us. He's told us this. In John's gospel, and this is what is so remarkable, the virgin birth, the coming forth of the Lord Jesus on earth, is expressed in one verse. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's all we're told about Christ coming from heaven to earth. But when you read Matthew, you read about the virgin birth. And when you read Luke, you learn even more. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten in thee shall be called the Son of God. So there is the conception of Jesus Christ. And Luke tells us that Mary was great with child. So God has told us that Here, Christ is conceived in the womb and is taken to the full term, and then he's born. Thank God for that. Because God has spoken through Christ, as we had in one study in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord would come and make known the mind of God. And when God said, I'm going to speak to man through my son, who would know how he was going to send that son from heaven to earth? But he's told us he's going to do it through the miraculous birth of a woman and a child. And after that, he is telling us how this son is going to live on earth. And that is what I want to know. I want to know just the questions that were asked by others when Christ had grown to maturity. These are some of the questions that were asked. They heard him speak and they said, who are you? They wanted to know who he was. They said, where do you come from? And when he was speaking, they said, whom makest thou thyself? And Pilate said, are you a king? All of these things man asked of Christ, and the Lord Jesus gave them the answers. Whom makest thou thyself? That answer is given in John 5. He called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Who are you? He said, before Abraham was born, I am. Where do you come from? He said, I am the bread of God that came from heaven. Do you see? All of these things are there, so brief a life of our Lord, and yet already things are beginning to unfold. Now, our Savior had a mission when he came from heaven to earth, and that we are told in John 6. He said, I am the living bread. I've come down that men may eat of me and live forever. So God is telling us a little bit about Christ's mission on earth. And in the other Gospels, more and more we read, and then his life unfolds. So I see that Jesus is not to be born by creation as Adam was, but he is to be born an infant and must be held in his mother's arms and nursed at her breast. And as I read to you in Luke 2:52, it says this concerning our Savior, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, you never would have believed that, and men still do not believe it. A friend of mine told me this. He said, on one occasion, a man tried to teach us about the humanity of Christ, and he told us that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And this person laughed at the teacher and said, why, Jesus was God. God doesn't increase in wisdom. You don't know anything. And yet he said, the verse says, Jesus increased in wisdom. What God has done is to put his son on earth, and then if you search the scriptures carefully, you will see just how Christ was prepared for 30 years to come forth and do the will of God. In a verse in obscurity here, in a passing reference in another gospel, God will tell us things about Christ that you would never know if you are looking for Christ and one chapter telling us everything about him. God does not teach us that way directly. For instance, you have to read in the Gospel of Mark, who tells us so little about Christ, to learn what his occupation was. What do you do for a living? It says in Mark, is not this the carpenter? In the other Gospels, it says, he is the carpenter's son. And so Joseph was a carpenter, and it says Jesus was a carpenter as well. So thank God, I know his vocation in life. I know what he did until he was manifested to the nation of Israel. He was obedient to his parents in Nazareth, and he worked as a carpenter. How remarkable. But now, when you read the Gospels, what is so thrilling is this: that God let him remain in obscurity for some 30 years, and then he sent him forth on his public ministry to the nation of Israel. Let me ask you this: when Jesus came forth to be the spokesman of God, how was he to make known this invisible, omnipotent, this almighty God? How was he to make him known? Psalm 78 tells us how he was to make him known. I will open my mouth in parables. Let me ask you this: when he did open his mouth in parables, was it the way that at times the Spirit of God came upon men and they spoke words that were not their own? They had no intention of speaking them, the way the high priest did when the Spirit of God caused him to speak things concerning Christ that he never would have said of himself. So when Christ came, was everything automatically his because he was God manifest in the flesh? But what we are told in Luke 2:52 is that that was not the way God intended to do it. It said Jesus increased in wisdom. What we would like to think is this: that when Jesus was born, he being God, he already had all wisdom. There was no increase. There was no development. Well, I would suspect that when I find that he was in the womb and he grew in stature in the womb, and then when he came forth out of the womb, he increased in stature on earth, and he became strong. And also, there was not only that physical development, but there was that mental development as well. And so I will tell you what Jesus was doing for 30 years. He was preparing mentally for the task of revealing his Father in heaven to men on earth. And he did such study, such preparation so well that everything he ever needed to say after he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, he already had it in his grasp. And at the same time, every obstacle that would face him in life, he had already found it in the Old Testament and how to overcome it. And also, the mission that God sent him on from heaven that was prophesied in the Old Testament, he already knew what it was. Think of that. Now, some would like to think that when Jesus came, why, he knew everything. He did not have to study. There was no preparation. There was no development. But that is false. Some are so jealous for the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ that they deny his humanity. The Lord Jesus was fully man in every respect, like unto you, except for sin. And this is what man resents. He says Jesus is different. And I heard one man who has a doctorate in philosophy, he said, I do not believe that Jesus never knew what was going to come from around the corner. Why, the Word of God tells you that Jesus did not know those things, that Jesus learned those things. Adam was created and he was able to talk immediately with his Creator. He was able to look upon things and name them. But Jesus increased in wisdom. Now, if you say, well, being God, why, of course, being God. But what happens is this: that God did not let Jesus take his Son's deity and from that deity, his humanity draws from it, and he knows, and he never has to think or prepare. Why, all of these things are at hand. It wasn't that way at all. I'll tell you some things as we go along, showing you the preparations, and then how fully Jesus was prepared. And the beauty of it is that he inherited a genius from his ancestors, as well as enabled of God, but he came from the wisest of ancestors. If I ask you this, who was the wisest man you ever find in the Bible? You say, well, that's simple. It was Solomon. Do you realize that Solomon was a grandfather of the Lord Jesus? Or unless you're going to have him descended from Nathan. And so he was his grandfather. He's called the son of David. Well, not the father and son, but the great, 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 great grandfather. And David had Solomon. And until the time that Christ came upon earth, the wisest man that had ever been was Solomon. He asked for certain abilities. He said, that I may judge this thy so great people Israel. And God said, I've given you everything that you want, and I'm giving you other things in addition to that. And so he is descended, and in his genealogy you find those that had certain abilities. Certain of his ancestors, because remember, you have David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijam, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram. All of these are grandfathers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened was all the good things you find in his grandfathers were passed on to the Lord Jesus, and all the bad things were left out. I wish this could be said about you and me. Concerning our ancestors, we look back and we say everything that was bad in his ancestry came out in him, and all the good things were skipped over. But in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was just the opposite. So what I want you to understand is that when Christ was sent on a mission from heaven, the Lord Jesus had to learn what that mission was. And he had to prepare for that mission. And he was fully prepared when he was baptized and the Spirit of God came upon him. And then he interpreted what that baptism meant from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the brokenhearted. You see, all of these things the Lord Jesus knew when he came upon the scene, because he said, today has this scripture been fulfilled in your hearing. Which brings us to the first thing, that every scripture that ever prophesied what Christ was to be, what he was to do on earth, the Lord Jesus knew it when he was presented publicly to the nation of Israel. Every temptation that the Lord Jesus Christ was to be confronted with when he was publicly manifested to Israel, he had already prepared his heart to meet those temptations. And everything he was ever to say to man, he already had those things within him. And it was simply God bringing to his remembrance, guiding him what he should say and what he should speak. Now that's a remarkable thing. If it said that Jesus came upon the scene, and when the Holy Spirit came upon him, then he did not need to study. He did not need to think. He did not need to exercise the human capacity that God had given him. But that's exactly what he did. And this is what God has told us. And this is why, when I studied Christ and the miracles, and there are 35 recorded miracles that Christ wrought, I find out that of himself he never performed one of those miracles. It says this, the Lord Jesus tells you how he performed those miracles. He said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons. It says, the power of the Lord was with him to heal. It says Jesus went about doing good, healing that were all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, had God wanted his son to draw upon his own deity to perform miracles, to know everything, that would have been all right. And God would have told us. But I've challenged those that are supposed to know, who say that Jesus knew everything. I simply mention one verse. Jesus says in Mark chapter 13 about his coming. He says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels in heaven," he said, "not even the Son." You say, "Well, that's only one thing." I see. Then if there is one thing he did not know, then he was not omniscient as a man. You say, "That's right." And therefore, the omniscience that was at his disposal came from the Spirit of God. The power with which he cast out demons, he said, "If I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, if I by the finger of God cast out demons," he's telling you how he's doing things. And I challenge some to show me where Christ drew upon his own deity to do anything or to know anything. And no one has ever told me one. And I will be pleased if you tell me. I will acknowledge it, and I will say publicly, "Here is somebody that's shown me one thing that Jesus did of himself." When Jesus himself said in John 5:19 and 5:30, he said, "I can of myself do nothing. The Son can of himself do nothing." Now, I will show you something that Christ said, and at one time, I know he said it 10 times, because years ago, almost 50 years ago, I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, and John R. Rice, who used to put out a booklet called The Sword of the Lord, I went to hear him speak on one occasion, and he said, "Why, Jesus, I want you to know that all of his words came from God." And he said, "I'm going to give you 10 portions of scripture that say that his words were God's words." And he rattled off 10 scriptures. And naturally, I went home to check them out. And not only were they right, but I looked even further than he did, and I found 13 scriptures that tell us specifically that the words of Jesus were the words of God. He said, "The words that I speak are not my words, but my Father teacheth me." And he says it 13 times in John's Gospel. And if I were to tell you it, you would leave me and go look at those verses, and so I'm not going to tell you. But believe me that Christ said, "The words that I speak are not mine, but they are my Father's." And therefore, all that Christ ever said, they were words that his Father told him to speak. You say, "Well then, they were not his own words." Oh, but they were. The Lord Jesus said concerning his disciples, he said, "Now, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now." He said, "But when the Spirit comes, he will bring to your remembrance all things that I've spoken unto you." Do you see the difference? He did not give revelations to them all the time, but the things that Christ spoke that were in their minds, it says, he will bring to your remembrance all things that I spoke unto you. Now, here is the Savior who for 30 years had been putting in his mind. He had been comprehending. He had been preparing for the mission that God gave him on earth to perform. And everything that he would ever need to know to save, they were potentially his when he came upon the scene. Let me give you an example. When the Savior was subjected to temptation in the wilderness, Satan came to him and he tempted him, recorded 3 times. And when the temptation came, the Lord Jesus had committed to memory all these portions in the Old Testament that would deal with any temptation in fulfillment of Psalm 119. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So every verse of scripture that the Savior would ever need to cast off temptation, and that is what he did. He did not disdainingly says to Satan, "You're trying to tempt me. Do you not know that I am God manifest in the flesh? You cannot tempt me." But instead, when Satan tempted him, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He said, "Well, cast yourself down." He said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He said, "Fall down and worship me." He said, "Get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Do you see? All the temptations that were to come upon Christ, his heart had laid up in it the word of God, so that he did not have to feel about when temptation came and say, "What shall I do?" But he already had the word in his heart, and he was able to apply that word to the temptation that he might escape that temptation. And that is the marvel. This, the Lord Jesus knew more scripture than any other man, because he said to Nicodemus, "Are you the teacher in Israel, and you do not know that a man must be born again?" He was the teacher in Israel. On another occasion, when they were criticizing the Lord Jesus because of his loose actions, as they interpreted them, and of his disciples, he said, "Go learn what this scripture meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." They did not know what that scripture meant, but the Lord Jesus did, and he said, "You need to know what that scripture means." And he spoke it again later on, and he said, "If you had known what this scripture means, you would not have condemned the guiltless." And so the Lord Jesus constantly was searching the heart of man, and he knew the heart of man when it was wise, and he knew the heart of man when it was filled with ignorance. When that lawyer in Mark chapter 12 had asked the Savior, "What is the first and greatest commandment?" And the Lord Jesus told him, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt worship the Lord thy God," and so forth, "with all your heart and soul and mind and strength." He said, "The second is like unto it." And when the lawyer heard that answer, he said, "Master, you have well said." And then he repeated in his own words the words of the Savior. And the Savior said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." He knew, and he knew what other men knew and what they did not know. That was the thrilling thing. I've told you that Christ knew everything that he was to do on earth as set forth prophetically in the Old Testament. But more than that, the Lord Jesus knew what God wanted him to do and how God wanted him to do it by the reading of Psalm 78, which Matthew 13 tells us. "He spoke in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables, I will make known things hidden from the foundation of the world." So this is what he found out. He found out that when he came to earth, that he was to make known the person of God, the will of God, the mind of God. He was to make it known in parables. And when he came upon the scene, he was perfectly prepared. He had in his repertoire all the parables he would ever need to speak to man. And what is so thrilling is that God has shown us, if you read all the Gospels, and I will tell you what I've done with the parables from the Gospels, perhaps, he knew from the Gospels the parables that he was to speak. He knew whenever an incident arose in his life, he could draw from his reserve just the parable that was needed. And when he was going to spend a day teaching Israel, he had listed in certain order that was known to him and that was best, he had all the parables that he would teach that day, and he went forth and he taught them. So see two things: that Christ could be taken by surprise in the sense that a man would come up and say, what is the first and great commandment? And the Lord Jesus immediately knew. And at the same time, when they would say to him, physician, heal thyself, the Lord Jesus knew what parable to supply. When he came to the people and he was thinking, he made them think with him. At times he would say, the kingdom of God is like, but then I read to you from Mark, he said, how shall we liken the kingdom of God? Unto what shall we liken it? And then you think, if he says, the kingdom of God is, you do not have to think, but he says, how shall we liken the kingdom of God? Unto what shall we liken it? And you think, and then he tells you the answer that you should have been able to give. So this is what is so thrilling in a study of the way that Christ, the parable speaker, lived out his life on earth, that when he had to tell man something about God, he would tell them about God in a parable. Now, the word mashal in the Old Testament is the word that is translated by various English words. And in the New Testament, you have two words. You have the word parabole, and you have the word moicheia. You have paramoia. That is the word that is also translated parable, but they're quite distinct. In John's Gospel, you have no parable, but you have the paramoia. And in the other Gospels, you have parabole. But both of them basically mean the same thing. A parable, para beside, bale, you throw a ball, it's one thing thrown beside another. And the paroimia is one thing likened to another, put by its side. And so basically, a parable is one thing placed beside another. And the thing that you place beside the thing to be understood is something that men understand. You might not understand about salvation. How does God save a man? And the Lord Jesus said, this is the way he saves a man. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that went and sowed seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and some fell upon stony ground, and some fell upon the weeds. And the Lord Jesus would speak that parable, and then he would interpret that parable. And so you can understand that when the word of God is preached to you, it is like a farmer that sows seed in his field. And some of those seed fall in good ground, and they bring forth, and he said, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said, but some, why, the birds of the heaven come down and gobble up the seed, and some fall on stony ground, and the root can't get down, and some fall upon the weeds, and the weeds choke. And all that knew anything about farming that were there would say, yes, I can understand that. So do you see what Jesus has done? He has taken the truths of heaven. He has taken the deepest mysteries and reduced them to parables. He has taken something that you can understand and taught it by comparing it with something that you cannot understand. He said this, the wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound, but you do not know from whence it comes or whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Now, in John's Gospel, you do not find a parable, but you find the paroimia, which is similar, but it's like this. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. And then it said, when he finished it, they did not understand this paroimia. And therefore, he spoke again, and he said, I am the door. All right, think of that. And he said, I am the good shepherd. But here is the Savior, and he gives us an illustration of himself like a shepherd. And they're called paroimia in John, and the others are called parables in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when people try to pin them down, you'll find that God does not try to pin them down. You'll find that there are seven distinct things that are told about these parables. They're called parables. They're called proverbs. They're called similitudes. They are called dark sayings. They're called allegories. They are called, of all things, riddles. And we have one that is not designated, but it is a fable in the Word of God. But all of them are similar things. And God sent His Son from heaven, and He said, "Son, I want you to explain the truths from heaven in parabolic form." So Jesus, our Lord, was the parable speaker. And never man spake like this man, and he was without equal. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for all that you've told us about your Son. Our God, we would think that life would be easy if we happened to be God manifest in the flesh. But we understand that the challenge was even greater, and he was equal to that challenge. And he who could have spoken wisdom to man in a way that no earthly man ever did before, he condescended to speak in parables because that is the way you wanted him to speak. So, Father, since he has done that, since he has made the way of salvation a way of simplicity that can be understood, we pray, our God, that we might understand it and believe it, because we read that they understood that he spake this parable against them. And so, Father, let us understand the parables that he speaks to us, wanting us to be saved. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, the parable speaker. Amen. Okay.